This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Hot Take BS. We bring you bets. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory lap.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
The tremendous Football Thursday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley here with you on the BetQL Network. What do you got?
How many times is Diana Rossini going to tweet something interesting?
What does she have? I haven't seen this. I need to turn notifications on for her, I guess.
49ers have had conversations about trading Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel to move up in the first round.
Wow, so the Ayuk thing is not new. The Debo part of that is extremely new.
The Ayuk thing has been everywhere for a long time, obviously. Debo, that was always floated by anonymous, silly Twitter accounts, and you're always kind of like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's going to happen. I don't know.
Including one picking in the top 10 is part of that tweet, right?
Right. So I had the underdog notification first, and I just got her notification because my phone was slow. So this is Diana Rossini. The 49ers have had conversations with teams, including with one picking in the top 10, Chicago, about trading either of their prized wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel, in an effort to move up in the first round per sources. Doesn't have to be Chicago. Just we know that they're on the front end of that. Trying. New England has also been a team long rumored to be interested in Ayuk, for sure. I mean, who wouldn't want to be interested in either of these players? They're both tremendous receivers. So just adds another interesting wrinkle. Like maybe we get a big player trade in addition to a bunch of teams moving around for quarterbacks. It'd be fun.
Trying to think of, okay, let's just say this happens. San Francisco trades one of their receivers, really good wideout. Are they going to replace that player with another receiver, like on a rookie contract?
Right, that's the idea, right?
Like, what's it for? Like, what are they going up to get?
And I think people probably can intuitively figure this out, but sometimes it's not always true. The Niners pick 31st in the first round, so they have the second to last pick of the first round. Kansas City has the last pick of the first round.
So it's 31. So let's say they're trading up to 9. It's 31. It's Debo Samuel or Ayuk, and like next year's first round pick, and like a future too, like to go up from 31 to like 8 or something.
I speculate about who it's for. You know, it's one. Maybe they're really like one of the three receivers.
Can I say something really, really crazy?
J.J. McCarthy.
I got told, I think I even like alluded to this on the air, it didn't happen, Cousins signed with Atlanta, that the Niners were like very interested in signing Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback. And then Brock Purdy would obviously no longer be the quarterback at that point, or like would be on the roster or whatever, or trade him, whatever. Is there any chance that it's for a quarterback?
Can you imagine? Yes, I can. I mean, it would have to be the first time in history that a team has been like dissatisfied with a quarterback that was number one in every single category advanced passing wise last year. Be like, well, we hate this guy. He sucks. Yeah, you always said that about the Cousins thing. And I was always like, it's just so funny. The Niners are really interesting. Okay. Well, I guess the fun thing here is, it's a really fun rumor, and now you just hope something happens because it's really fun. from a betting standpoint, like, again, I guess, like, what this would just emphasize to me, and look, like, we're doing this live, so you try to, like, kind of put the pieces together in your head. It just, again, confirms, like, the approach here, I think, from a betting standpoint, none of us have the information, right? So we're gonna get past that part. Yes, the ideal thing would be know who the pick is and bet it. We're past that. Nobody's got that. So past that, you try to kind of put the puzzle pieces together a little bit, and you say, okay, it just seems, again, and I've said this twice already in the show, there are picks for sale all over the top 10. We know 3, 4, 5, 6 wants to move to 3, and then maybe if 3 moves to 6, they move down again or they do something else. 7, we haven't really heard anything about. Would it surprise anyone? I don't know. 8, we've heard about. 9, we've heard about. 10, we've heard about trading up for an offensive player. Okay, so like big prices in slots where they maybe don't make sense if the team makes the pick, but none of those teams might be making that pick. None of them. So just like, here's another wrinkle where it's like, Niners want to go to like, put him in any slot. Like, okay, like what's like Neighbors and Adunze's longest price in the top 10 to go in a spot? Any of them. Like, what's that? What's like Joe Alt's craziest price to go in a random spot? What's like, just because the teams end up moving around that way, right? What's like, Bowers' craziest spot to play, craziest place to go in a spot? Like, what's Bowers to go like 8 and 9 and like those kind of weird things? 9's going to be bet a lot now because of the Rams Bears thing. But like, you just get the idea of an approach with an approach that it doesn't really, it's the approach of I don't have the information, but no one else does either. And there's so much volatility that it's big prices tied to all these things where it's like, yeah, like the assumption is like Atlanta's making 8 and Chicago's making 9 and the Jets are making 10. And even though the Titans are making 7, cool, they're not talking. That doesn't mean they're picking. Chargers, Cardinals, like again, just put them all in a blender. And again, you could get kind of like a wacky 4 through 10 here.
Just thinking like as you're talking about this Niners Rams thing, I mean that th it could be that. So I'm sure the Niners kind of know who the Rams want, right?
Definitely.
Okay. It
I
ha
would
okay.
guess. I can't say definitely. It would just, it, yes. Like, I think
Probably,
that makes a lot of sense.
probably. Okay, so I think it almost not definitely, but almost has to be a receiver because the Niners have Kittle. Because if San Francisco is like, okay, great, the Rams want to go get Bowers, like we would never draft him because we have George Kittle. Maybe this is San Francisco knows I'm making this up. The Rams want Rome Odunze, and the Niners are like, no, we want him. And now there's like a bidding war between those two teams to get into the top 10.
And honestly, and I know this will sound crazy because of like where he's mocked in the draft position. Okay, like let's play this out. I know you're about to do your mock. Let's play this out a little bit. Or maybe we're not about to do your mock because I hope these things keep coming out because they're so interesting. All right, Caleb
We should like Venmo
in.
Diana Rossini some money for today's show. She's like
Oh,
killing
God
it.
bless you, Diana Rossini. You were a very nice person to me when I worked at ESPN also. Caleb Daniels. This
Writing
is
this
not
down.
like Ken's mock. I'm just, yeah. Caleb Daniels.
Okay. Yep.
Giants to 3, Drake May.
Which, by the way, is like what I have in like one. I did two a couple like two different mocks. Okay, so Giants
Right.
May. Yep.
I'm just playing out a permutation. This is not what I think will happen, but it is definitely very possible. Not it's even likely, I would say. We know the Giants want to go to 3. It's just when the when after Jaden Daniels goes second, when the Patriots pick up the phone, do they say yes or no? That's what the market is. So, and if they say no and they make the pick, is it McCarthy? If they say yes and the Giants move up, we know it's Drake May. Like that's been rumored by so many people. It is the most likely thing. Okay, so Caleb Daniels, Giants to 3 for May. Harrison 5 is just like I don't know who to put here to make this happen. I could put 10 different players here. Offensive lineman, just like to
And
just to do it this way. And
to
Harrison's already off the board
Chargers.
to Chargers. Harrison's already off the
Okay.
board. Patriots moved back from 3 to 6. They get McCarthy who they want.
Okay.
Latham or Alt Titans.
So OL.
Turner.
Okay, Turner, Atlanta.
Neighbors is on the board at 9. Why can't it be
And
Neighbors?
so
Who everyone says might be like
And by the
legendary.
way, and so is Adunze.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Odunze is the one where it's easy to get there. I'm saying, like, I got to neighbors pretty easily there. Now, the Chargers are the weird one where, like, if Harrison goes fourth and teams had neighbors ahead of him anyway, would you jump somebody to get neighbors at five if the Chargers wanted to do it? But, like, that's only one team where that's kind of in play. You could also say, to be fair, hey, if every pick in the back half of the top 10 is for sale, anybody could go up to get neighbors in any spot. And my rebuttal is, yes, I think that's what's happening with the Rams and with the Niners and with these other teams. Like, wait, who's going where? We can get Malik Nabers or we can get Rome Odunze. Like, that's a very realistic mock, and Nabers is available at nine in that mock draft because the Giants get like McCarthy's a trade for McCarthy where somebody does end up taking him allows that to happen. That's what allows that to
So,
happen.
like, okay. Chicago at nine.
Right.
The offer is like Brandon Ayuk and 31 for nine.
I don't know about like the chart and how this is supposed to go. I'm terrible at this.
Oh, I don't even like, I don't even, I also don't know
Is it
like the
supposed to be
salary
more
cap
than that?
ramification.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Isn't Ayuk awesome? Like, am I
Yes.
wrong about
Yeah,
this?
that's probably enough. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I mean, you do that in. And you have Caleb Williams, and now it's DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that's ridiculous if that's what it is. If that's what
Yeah.
happens, that's
It's a lot better,
insane.
put it that way. Yeah, it's really good.
Or do you just stand pat and then it's DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers, you know, and that on a rookie
Okay.
deal. I don't know.
So just like Nick Costos' speculation, like the Rams are trying to move into the top 10. In your power ranking of who they're moving into the top 10 to, who is in the number one spot?
I guess. But now with the San Francisco news, I was going to say Bowers, but now I think it's like Nabers or Odunze.
I agree. I think there's a way Neighbors gets there. That he doesn't have to get
Okay.
there. The Giants
So
could just pick him, but
let's ask a different question. What's San Francisco going up to get with the knowledge that they are dangling one of their receivers in the deal?
I desperately want to say JJ McCarthy. But it's not. Or it's probably not. Just because McCarthy's like the guy that gets floated in every single trade for everybody.
But like, but why can't it be like Drake May?
Yeah. Okay, so again, like, and
Would
here's how it would
anyone
be Drake May,
really
right?
be shocked? Like, would people? I guess it would be a stunner,
Trade with the
right?
Patriots for the third overall pick?
Yeah, like do it again. Like, and Purdy
Right.
just took you to the Super, like went to overtime in the Super Bowl,
Against
lost.
Mahomes.
But like, to be fair, like the lost.
Yeah, like I'm just how do you criticize someone for that? Yeah, you know when you went to the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes, went to overtime and lost? You suck.
But like they tried to sign Tom Brady last year.
Yeah, they definitely did.
And I, for what it's worth, like I never came on the show and said like I'm reporting this, just saying that like I believe the cousin stuff that was out there. I believe that they were interested. I believe that. And I can't prove it, so people can say like, well, who cares what you think? Great. That's fine. I'm just saying. I have no reason to lie about anything.
Listen to the show, you probably care what we think a little bit, right? The tug of war on Brack Bauer's draft position continues, now more likely under 11 and a half than over 11 and a half by a little bit. It keeps bouncing back and forth. Probably some disagreement about that. I think the stuff that's really interesting too is the Knicks and Penix stuff, where again, like tug of war, and like every time Bo Nix gets bet over under 32 and a half in any kind of way, it gets played back to the middle again. That's really interesting. McCarthy has been bet over now 5.5 a little bit more, just for people to have some idea too. Like it doesn't take a lot for this to happen. The limit, I think, it actually might be up even more. It was to win 1,000 the last time I checked, and like one limit bet in the auto mover rule. We'll kick it around a little bit. Depends on what the price is, what it moves to. But let's say you're minus 110 each way, or minus 115, 120, whatever. Like 12 cents, 8 cents, something like that. You put in a limit bet, so it doesn't take a lot to make it happen. But I just think that stuff's really interesting. Like the people who have skin in the game and can bet that amount, Those of us who like have accounts to bet that stuff, like what are they doing? What are they up to with this? I always think that stuff's interesting too.
Anything else happening in the market right now of any note?
This resembles last year only in this way, where this was the deadest time in the
I
market.
have a pit in my stomach right now, man, thinking about like what like this next like hour and 40 minutes is gonna be.
But I would just say like I don't have a pit in my stomach just because like we're not on the line here, really.
Oh,
Like
I
I
mean,
got
pit in my stomach was bet. I'm excited. Like
Yeah.
I'm like anxious and
Oh, I'm
nervous
really
about it in a
excited.
good way.
I love
Yes.
this. I think the
Yes. Pit in
speculation and the
stomach was not
puzzle
a good way of
solving.
describing how I feel. Like I think this is like I'm like so excited for this.
Like it's always better to just know the answer, but like that's the answer is unknowable three on, which you see in the betting market too, because again, like even if you knew who a team liked, and New England would be the first team where that would be true, even if you know who like the first pick that we don't know, if you think Daniels is going second, he's minus 1,000. The first pick that we don't know is three. Even if you knew who they liked, you could bet it. There is no certainty that you will win money because there is a chance of a trade. And that's true with the first pick that we don't know. And it's true basically every pick in the top 10 from that point on. So that's part of why you see in the betting market what you see. It's really quiet. To be fair, Daniels also isn't minus 50,000 yet, but I don't expect that for at least another like hour and a half probably as we get closer to 7 o'clock.
Oh
And when that
man.
starts, then the funny thing is when that starts, does three start moving, or do you have to wait again? What the phone has to ring after Daniels gets drafted for that to be true.
Oh my God. Man your battle stations. All right. Mock draft coming up next. Nick and Ken on draft day.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Draft day here. You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken. Pete Blackburn will join us in 20 minutes, giving us bets for the Stanley Cup playoffs, Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight, and bets, of course, for the 2024 NFL Draft. Just like I'll ask you this question a lot. Anything happened in the last few minutes? And if not, we can just move on. We can start mocking. Yeah.
Yeah, start marking in a minute. Daniels minus 1,000 to go second. Drake May minus 290, minus 300 to go third. All of the other picks are stable, and when I say stable, I mean sorry, Marvin Harrison minus 500 to go fourth. Everything after that is like a bunch of guesses, and in some cases, here's six guys, 2-1, 3-1, 5-1, and nobody knows. And because there's going to be a lot of trades, or maybe not. And that's basically every pick except for like seven, which I still don't buy. That's basically it. It's like here's if you think you know what six, seven, eight, nine, 10 are going to be, 150, 2-1, 250, 3-1, they're out there on that player. Like it's all a big guess. To be fair, the third overall pick is still lined in such a way where it's just. And you'd be like, well, yeah, it's like 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Like, how is the third overall pick not moving? And I'll just reiterate, like, all of the insiders, well, not all of them, but those that talk about the trade potential with the Patriots at three, all say the same thing, which is like the teams that would trade with them would want to know that Jaden Daniels was the second overall pick before they would consummate the trade so they can make sure they knew what they were getting when they traded to third overall. Let's say they want Drake May. So that interest isn't that trade probably isn't going to be consummated until after the second overall pick is made, which sucks from a betting standpoint because the markets will all be closed by then. So we may have no clarity on the third overall pick the entire time until the telecast starts, because we don't know when somebody makes an offer to the Patriots for three after the second overall pick has been made. Will the Patriots say yes to that offer? And if they say yes, who is the team going to get? Probably Drake May, it seems like. If they say no and they pick, who are they going to take, and what probability would you assign to those two things? There are a lot of rumors that if they stayed and made the pick, they would take JJ McCarthy. So it becomes a May McCarthy back and forth again. And it's not even the Patriots. Which one would they pick? It's would a team trade for Drake May, or would the Patriots stay and pick McCarthy? That's still the third overall pick, and we may just not know until the second overall pick is made. But we can mock.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Jane Daniels first overall.
Yeah, do it just to be crazy.
You want to get You want to get nuts? Caleb Williams first overall. I think, and this could be kind of like, it's my mock, but like we could talk about it, obviously. Like, have to have Jaden Daniels second, you think?
In a mock draft? Yeah, I think you have to. Just because, like, all you're thinking about is what is the most likely thing. This isn't price. I don't get the sense that anything weird is going on yet. And everyone wants to bring up Mac Jones, Trey Lance. We knew so much more about that by now than anything that would, like, let's say.
What was the price at that point? Like, what was the price, like, around this time? Do you remember? Like, when we bet Lance, was he still a dog or was he, like, a slight favorite?
Well, I had bet him just on the rumor during the day, and I remember getting, like, plus 180, plus 200 on him to go third. I don't remember what all the bets were, like, right by that. I was like, I feel like I blacked out for 10 minutes when you were like, it's the third overall pick. Well, literally the end of the show that night was, the third overall pick will be Trey Lance. We got to go. We're out of time. See you guys tomorrow. Like, that was basically the end of the show. I don't remember what the prices were. I don't think they were prohibitive at all, though. So this market, from a price standpoint,
it was plus,
and a movement
like a
standpoint,
slight plus price, I think. I think Mac was still
favored.
So.
This market isn't behaving remotely like how that one did. If you know, if you were to, if you say like, okay, if we woke up this morning and it was like, oh, a ton of betting overnight on Drake May to go second. Now some insiders reporting, like, and through that the day that gained steam. None of that's happened here. So yeah, maybe Washington's got us all fooled. I just wouldn't bet on it, I guess is the way I'd put it. I just wouldn't bet that they've got us all fooled. It just doesn't seem like a great bet. And I don't think Jaden Daniels minus 1,000 is a great bet either. I just, again, like, I'm happy to just pencil in Daniels and spend time on other stuff and see if I want to bet that.
Okay, so Daniels, second overall pick. So third overall pick. Curious if you agree with my train of thought here. And look, this can be, if I have to just pick one of the two options, that's fine. But I think, like, it's important to talk like this, right? It's like, kind of like choose your own adventure. Turn to page 69 and you fall down a well. Either the Patriots will stay at three and take J.J. McCarthy, or the Giants will trade to three to take Drake May.
The market would have you believe that May, in either capacity, as the Patriots pick or as a trade-up, is much more likely than McCarthy. The market would have you believe that. I think there is a lot of disagreement, even among people who, like, claim to know about what this is going to be. I've heard both things, and I've heard both things really confidently. Like, they want Drake May. No, they want J.J. McCarthy. Like, it's done if they stay. It's like, okay. Again, what are we supposed to do then if that's the case? It's like a game of, like, who do you trust more? And the market is more heavily leaned toward May. And the funny thing is, like, you could even look at it this way. Okay, if you think the Patriots actually could pick either, let's say it's 50-50, even if it's not. Then May gets 50% and McCarthy gets 50% of the stay probabilities. And May gets 100% of the trade.
May gets all of, yep. Then yep. He, so it has to be May. Just like, right, who's picking
right.
Is the question.
Drake, like, if you're going to mock and do only one, like, and you're not going to do the choose your own adventure, I think you have Drake May third because he gets taken by the Patriots sometimes. And do you agree with me? If let's say it's the Giants or any other team,
yes.
You think if it's a trade for three, it's always for Drake May?
I think it's gonna it's gonna be May. Yes, I do think, yes, I think it's gonna be May.
Then Drake May is the mock at three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four.
Picks.
I guess four has to be Marvin Harrison, unfortunately.
Well, and think about it. If you have May
three, he's getting bet a little bit, right?
Earlier, he got, like, a little bit. I mean, he's been a big favorite a lot all day. So the idea, especially, is you haven't, like, changed things in a dramatic way where it wouldn't be that. Like, if you put McCarthy at three, you can make the argument that, like, someone wants to trade for four for Drake May, or, like, something wacky, like, it starts the domino effect. If you put May at three, like, you know, not to quote the same mock draft over and over again, I just thought it was really interesting that Daniel Jeremiah put in this mock, like, Yeah, it seems like the Vikings have cooled on trading up to get JJ McCarthy. They would much rather just pick him where they pick. Okay, well, like the whole deal the whole time in the consensus was that the Vikings were going to go get him. And now it's like, oh, actually, I'm kind of hearing that might not happen. Okay, then if May goes third, what's the interest level for somebody to trade to four with the Cardinals? Not as much. Just not as much. So probably just pick Harrison. Seems like the most likely thing.
So I have Harrison four.
Yeah, what the
We
hell
should
are you doing
almost
here?
do one where we should almost do one where like McCarthy goes three and then play that
Great, we'll
out
do it after
also.
this. Yeah.
Okay. So May 3rd, Harrison fourth.
Who is this
Again,
pick?
like who's trading up for McCarthy
That's
here?
the problem. I think the Chargers have to make the pick.
Unless. So here's how it doesn't. The
Somebody
only,
loves
not the only
neighbors.
way. Somebody wants neighbors, exactly, to block the Giants.
Yeah. Except that you gave, did you gave May to the Patriots. That's the
I
problem.
did.
If you give May to the Giants, you have to play at that one too.
So let's play that out. May goes to the Giants at three. So now the Patriots are on the clock at six. So
They're
May,
gonna
is
take
it
McCarthy.
the Patriots are going to take McCarthy, correct? If he's
Yeah,
there.
right.
Does
I don't
another
think anyone's
team want
jumping.
McCarthy? I don't think
I don't
so
think that would
either.
happen. Yeah.
And if there is a team that would do it, there has not been one scintilla of information that that could happen. And like that doesn't
I
mean it
agree.
won't, just that there's been zero about it.
And we've
Zero.
actually moved the we've moved the opposite direction, where like Minnesota seems less likely to trade up now than they were before. Like we're moving in the complete opposite direction from like an information standpoint. So yeah, so if it's I mean, like now we're playing out like six different mocks at the same time. Do you want to, I think you should continue playing out Patriots take Drake May, just to its
Okay.
logical conclusion at 10, just to do it. Like, who would you have the Chargers picking if that happened?
I don't think they pick. I think a team goes to get neighbors.
So X team not picking, and would it be, I mean, it could be anybody, like the Jets could trade to five at that point, or somebody else could trade to
The
five.
Niners
So
could do it.
the Niners could do it. The Rams could do
Can I
it.
say something? Could you imagine if you're the Chargers in all seriousness and they have no wide receivers, and here San Francisco comes to you with a package that includes Brandon Ayuk? You do it in a heartbeat. You're going to trade down anyway, and now you get an actual good receiver plus draft capital to rebuild this roster.
Right. So Team X for Malik Neighbors will be your mock at five if the Patriots take Drake May.
Yeah, I don't know, like not like with the most extreme confidence, but yeah.
I mean, are you more confident in that or that they'll stay and take Latham, who is the favorite to be the fifth overall pick?
I think that they probably believe that they could trade down and get him or take another lineman.
It's
There's like 9 million
reasonable.
linemen at this
19
draft.
tackles. Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, I'm fine with that, but I'm not going to dispute it. I think that's fine. Team trades up to take neighbors five.
Odunze six. Would they take McCarthy? No, I don't. Based off what I've heard, no, they want Drake May.
I agree. I like Odunze mock there in this one. Yeah.
For what it's worth, water gun to my head, I think the Giants trade to three and take Drake May.
Well, yeah, we'll do that one next. Let's play out this
And
one. Play this one out to 10.
I think like as a fan, if and when that happens, I'm going to be very excited.
Of course. A trade-up
Be
for a
really.
quarterback's the best. In the it on draft night, the trade-up for the quarterback's the best.
I was gonna say, like last time we didn't technically do that because the Chargers picked Eli, but the last
Right.
time we did something like that, like worked out pretty well. Okay, so where are we at now? We're at seven with the Titans.
Yeah, because you have Odunze six to the Giants, which I would do mock the same way.
So the receivers are all gone. Like it ha alt
Right.
has to be the pick now
Alt.
to the Titans.
Yep.
Okay, Falcons. I guess Dallas Turner, for lack of like a better option.
Yeah. Latu or whatever is the second choice. They both have similar odds to be
Lakitu.
the eighth overall pick. And there's a connection, right, with like Jimmy Lake as the defensive coordinator of the Falcons, and
And
Latu like
Latu.
was one of his players. Yeah. So that's been rumored for a while. Latu apparently also is like falling on draft boards, but nobody knows where. This is always thinking like a guy can fall on draft boards. You only need one team to not have him fall. Like, you know, the guy with the defensive coordinators was his defensive coordinator. So it's that stuff's always really tough to solve. But yeah, I think Turner in a mock like Turner would be the person you'd put in the spot.
I think the NFL should have Alicia Keys at all the drafts, and they like when they like have go to the person in the green room that's like tumbling down boards. She should play Fallen.
I think you're falling.
I keep on falling down the draft board with you. I keep on falling. Great song.
I didn't pick two.
Okay, nine. I think the Bears trade out.
Yeah. Or they take out, what's the tackle that's like Caleb Williams' best friend from sixth grade or whatever it is? What is that?
Fashanu.
Fashanu, yeah.
How about this? Jets to nine for Bowers to block the Rams. The Rams, even though, like, I guess, no, we don't think the Rams are trying for a receiver. So in this, like, the Rams and Niners are out now.
I mean, they don't have to be out. Like, the Rams could trade to nine for Bowers.
Well, we think they want a receiver, right? Because of San Francisco's reported interest also. But we think.
Your mock.
Do you think that's the most probable?
I mean, we know the Bears want to get out of the pick, but, like, who wants to go up for what's there? I think nobody.
Okay, then I'll say...
take a tackle.
I'll say Byron Murphy, nine, to the Bears.
Okay, that's a good one, too.
And I'm gonna hold that the Jets take... I got a piece of information from someone who's been right in the past, also has been wrong a lot recently. This person's kind of on my bleep list right now. I was told that...
What a build-up.
I'm just being honest with people. Like, I'm not trying to BS anyone, you know? Fashanu.
Okay.
Fashanu. Bowers out of the top 10.
Yeah. Who would you have 11? Vikings are still there. Still be there.
McCarthy. Oh, he's gone at the... Oh, no, he has. He's still on the board, right?
He's available. They could take him.
Yeah. McCarthy.
What about Penix?
Friday.
Saturday. All right.
Undrafted.
So that's your Patriots take Drake May 3rd mock.
Yes.
Now, next we have to do the Giants trade to 3 and take Drake May mock, followed by the Patriots stay and take J.J. McCarthy mock.
And I think we need to do like a Minnesota trades to 3 also for May.
Oh, man. Minnesota.
Right?
It's the front page of the newspaper. I mean, we can. Let's see how much stuff, if we get no stories, we can do as many mocks as you want.
Speaking of, were you watching last night ESPN, like Steve Levy and like P.K. Subban and Messier? And they replayed,
what was going
it was like 30.
There? Yeah.
Oh, with what, like the hammer?
Did you see that stuff? Yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't see that live.
It's funny. It's basically Subban saying that he's like, well, in doubt, basically,
Hartford
is all that is.
All the time?
Yeah.
Like every night they talk about West Hartford bars. It's really funny.
Yeah, it was a problem. Messier is like a known carouser. Nothing wrong with that at all. Coming up next, we'll talk some hockey. Pete Blackburn from What Chaos joins Nick and Ken.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.
Two to score. And as you said, Ray, that Bertuzzi tip was heading toward the corner, but it hit Lindholm's like, Bergeron scores! Boston responds immediately. Brad Marchand makes it 3-2.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Sean McDonough with the call last night on ESPN. You know, as a New York sports fan, I know I should never, like, wake up the entire block when the Boston Bruins do something good, but that's the beauty of sports betting. Needed it last night and got it from Jeremy Swayman and the Boston Bruins. Now, you know, if and when it's announced officially that Linus Ullmark will start in Game 4, I'm going to be really upset. But that hasn't happened yet, so for now, we can be pretty happy. Pete Blackburn will join us in just a second from What Chaos to talk NHL postseason betting. Ken and I will get back to the NFL draft in 20 minutes. Twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube, the Odyssey app, radio stations nationwide. Final segment for the day on Stadium, so you can check us out on one of the 700 other places that we're on if you're watching us right now on Stadium as we get you set to bet the 2024 NFL draft. But for now, let's talk some Stanley Cup playoffs with the aforementioned, the great Pete Blackburn. And people need to check out What Chaos, which features Pete and DJ Bean. It's an extremely entertaining show covering the National Hockey League. The link is in Pete's profile. You can find it on YouTube, other places as well. What Chaos with Pete Blackburn and DJ Bean. We haven't talked to Pete since he joined us live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. It's great to have him back on the show on Twitter at Pete Blackburn. We hate the Red Sox hat he's wearing, but we love Pete Blackburn. Pete, welcome back to the show. Nick and Ken, how's it going?
Good. I'll let the Red Sox comment slide, given that you were on the Bruins side last night. And you don't have to feel bad about it just because everybody hates the Leafs. So you can at least find solace in that.
Might be kind of a biased answer then to this first question. We could just get into Bruins Maple Leafs, I guess. Bruins are pretty big favorite to win the series now. They're like minus 260, minus 270, and a huge win last night, obviously. Is this still feel kind of like a nip and tuck series? I mean, everybody thought after game one, oh, like Bruins are going to run away with this thing. Toronto comes back, they win game two on the Matthews breakaway. Do we still feel like it's kind of a back and forth seven game series, or do you think the Bruins are going to run away with this thing?
I definitely don't think the Bruins are going to run away with it. I don't think they're good enough to run away with anything at this point. Even, you know, their regular season success, it came. They weren't blowing teams out of the water. They were winning close games. So it always goes seven games with the Maple Leafs. I wouldn't expect anything different this time around. And even when you look at the three-game sample that we have so far, the Bruins have been outplayed for a pretty decent chunk of that time, especially at 5-on-5. So definitely don't think they're running away with it. I would expect a lot of ebbs and flows here. And right now, it's just on the Bruins side.
If Jeremy Swayman starts game four for the Bruins, who wins game four, Bruins at Maple Leafs? If Linus Ullmark starts game four for the Bruins, who wins game four, Bruins at Maple Leafs?
I mean, you could say this is a cop-out answer, but I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters who's in net, because goaltending has been good regardless of the guy in between the pipes for the Bruins. The Bruins didn't lose game two because of Linus Ullmark. The Bruins lost game two because they had no legs. They didn't win any battles. They didn't win any races. They played like crap in game two, especially for those final 40 minutes. So I really don't think that it matters. If you're asking me who I would go to in game four, I would say Linus Ullmark, just because if it ain't broke, do not try to fix it at this point. And I absolutely believe that Jeremy Swayman has been the better goaltender. He's been unbelievable. He was especially unbelievable in game three. But don't cause a problem where there isn't one right now. I just go back to Ullmark. Lay with the goalie rotation that you're committing to, and don't go away from it unless one of them craps the bed, and they haven't yet.
I think Nick hates you again. I think we went back from hating, loving.
It's more
hating,
just like loving, you're saying, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I don't know. They lost game two. But I understand the point that Pete's making.
Maybe not because of him, I guess, would be Pete's point. So I wanted to ask you about Boston first, just because we got into that series. Kind of like a big picture question. We didn't have you on right before the playoffs started to get, like, a Stanley Cup final prediction. What team did you like to win the Stanley Cup before the playoffs started? And if you had to do it again right now, would you change your opinion?
Well, yeah, because the team that I picked is the Dallas Stars. They are the only team that is down 0-2 after being at home. So heading to Vegas in a 2-0 hole is tough sledding for Stanley Cup favorites. That being said, I still like Dallas. I think they've still got a shot in that series. I think it's going to be a close one. They obviously have to start digging up. If you're going to jump on that train right now, the value has never been higher than it is. I think that we checked this morning and it was like plus 2,500 to win the Stanley Cup. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Hell yeah. Jump on that train. I still think that Dallas is a really good team. They have one of the best offenses in all of hockey. We haven't really seen it yet. They didn't score at 5-on-5 in game two. Jason Robertson's goal came on the power play. We have yet to see the best of the Dallas Stars, and you can make a case that, you know, the defensive play and defensive structure of the Vegas Golden Knights is preventing them from hitting their peak. But I think Dallas is too good to be as quiet as they've looked through two games.
Nick and Ken here on You Better You Bet on a Thursday, getting bets and thoughts for the NHL postseason with our pal Pete Blackburn from What Chaos, amazing hockey show. Pete is on Twitter at Pete Blackburn. Pete, I want to ask you about the Kings Oilers series. We can go kind of in like lightning round style here. Don't have a ton of time left, and I know like we want to make sure we can get as much in with you as possible. I like the Oilers to win the series prior to the series. Stuart Skinner's brutal, and I don't have a ton of confidence in the Oilers moving forward in the series. Kings win in overtime last night, Kopitar breakaway goal. Kings plus 150 to win the series as the series now shifts to Los Angeles. What's your level of concern with the Edmonton Oilers now in that series against the Kings?
I'm not that concerned. I don't think Stu Skinner's brutal. I'm not as down on him as he had a real bad goal last night. Kevin Fiala up on the wall. Like, you definitely want to save there. Stuart Skinner for a large portion of the season has been very solid. And I think that he can be that guy. Last night, I think things opened up too much for the Oilers' own good. And that sounds crazy to say because they have that high-flying talent. They do play an east to west, like high octane style of hockey that they can find success in. But when you're talking about having to defend on the rush, it's not where I want the Oilers to be. So I still have a lot of faith in Edmonton pulling this off, and they obviously looked great in game one. I think this is going to be a pretty good series, but I absolutely have faith in the Oilers making this happen.
Winner of that series, Pete will play the winner of Canucks Predators. The big story in that series, obviously, Thatcher Demko. And are we going to see him again in the series? Seems like in a betting market, be no would probably be a favorite right now that we see Thatcher Demko again, but possible. Maybe we see him later in the series. Does that, in what's a pick'em market for a series, basically, like minus 110 each way, does that determine for you who wins, whether we see Demko again, Vancouver and Nashville?
I'll start off with this. I heard today, and I don't know how legitimate the claim is, but I wouldn't expect to see Demko in this series and maybe not next series if they get out of it. So
wow.
The Demko injury seems to be pretty significant. And Casey DeSmith wasn't bad coming in. I don't know if I really love what I've seen from the Canucks to this point in the series, regardless of who's in net. Elias Pettersson has looked really, really rough. Had missed a wide open net. Had a horrible turnover at the blue line that led to a Nashville goal the other night. And he just looks off. And he's a really important player for them. They need him to, if he's hurt and not himself, they could be in real trouble, especially you look at the coaching and what we've seen so far. And Nashville did a great job of blocking passing lanes and just blocking, I think it was 42% of all attempts that Vancouver took the other night. They made those adjustments, saw that the Canucks were firing away from the point and said, all right, cool, we'll put our bodies on the line. And they played perfect Barry Trotz hockey. And going back to the New York Islanders from a few years ago when they had their deep runs to the Eastern Conference Final, that's all they did, man. They hung around in their own zone. They played bend, don't break hockey, and they took advantage of the few opportunities they had the other way. That's exactly the makeup the Nashville Predators have this year under Andrew Burnett. And that kind of play, as ugly as it is, can win you playoff series against teams that are not ready to respond. And I look at the Vancouver Canucks, and I don't know if they're ready to respond.
I mentioned this Andrew Brunette quote yesterday after they won game two. We had to be committed to pain, blocking all those shots, and the Nashville Predators were in game
number
two.
That's winning hockey this time of year, baby.
There's no question. There's absolutely no question about it. Give us like 30 seconds, if you'd be so kind, on the Jets-Avs series, and then we'll get to games for tonight, where, look, Ken and I both bet Winnipeg prior to the series, and Connor Hellebuck's been terrible through the first two games. Can he turn it around? What do you see from Winnipeg and Colorado in 30 seconds so we can get to games for tonight?
I think it's going to be a tight series, but right now the goaltending is where I look at, and it's not the Connor Hellebuck story. I know that he hasn't been great through a couple games, 10 goals allowed, not the guy that you would expect in the regular season, but Alexander Georgiev is a much bigger question mark to me than Connor Hellebuck. And I know Georgiev had a big bounce back in game two, but that doesn't answer the questions permanently. I think the questions still remain for game three. I'm siding with the Jets because I have more faith in Hellebuck.
Go Jets, go. Isles Canes tonight, game three, series shifts to Long Island. Ilya Sorokin in net for the Islanders. The Hurricanes just keep getting bet. I'm looking now, minus 175. Carolina is on the road tonight. Isles plus 145. Can the Isles get this one with the goalie switch here in like 30 seconds?
Yeah, like I think you're talking a game-by-game basis. Of course, they can win one game, and maybe being with the goalie change, they might play a little bit more comfortably in front of Sorokin. Maybe they get some juice from the home crowd. Like, I'm not guaranteeing a sweep for Carolina. So if there's value tonight, I would say take it. I think this is going to be a very quick series. four or five games. I don't see it going longer than five games. New York's just not a good team. But talking a game-by-game basis, sure, why not?
And last one for you here, the other game tonight, 30 seconds here. Can the Lightning make this a series against Florida? Panthers looking to go up 3-0 as the series goes to Amelie.
I'm low on the Lightning, man. I just don't think that they've been a good team for a lot of this year. I think that a lot of the faith in Tampa is based on previous Tampa teams and not the Tampa team that we've seen this year. That team has been carried by an incredible, incredible season from guys like Kucherov and Stamkos. But behind them, they're not getting a ton. They're not a good 5-on-5 team. They're power play merchants. And they lean on that power play just far too much. And when you're talking about a Florida team that dominates on the forecheck, absolutely give me that team every time, especially with the way that Sergei Bobrovsky's been playing.
All right, but we want people to go youtube.com/@, like the shift two, @ What Chaos Show, to subscribe to Pete's Hockey Show with DJ Bean on YouTube. Pete, and on Twitter @ Pete Blackburn. We sincerely appreciate it, my friend. Good luck with the bets. Enjoy the hockey postseason. We'll talk to you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
The great Pete Blackburn joining us here. He gave us some really good stuff. We'll touch on it next hour. Final hour, Power Hour coming up next. Head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.